Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
People make fun of me because sometimes when I laugh, I clap.
What do you mean? Like, honestly, that's a little bit on the...
I don't mean like...
like a seal,
but
huh?
It's a little bit. A little bit.
Yeah, I could see. Oh, I understand why someone might mock you for doing that, though. Now, especially now like, with the mustache, you got a walrus vibe going on.
I am scarier than ever with the mustache.
That's true.
I feel like I should have gotten more respect with the mustache because I look even more scary. I look more brutal, I think.
Well, by scary, I think you mean undercover cop. But yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Hey, man, that's what I want to go for. Is he a cop? Is he fucking... Or is he the drug dealer?
That's a good point. This is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel with Henry Zebrowski, Travis Morningstar. He's not going to be on the show today. He's busy working for us for our...
Yeah, he's back. he's putting his back into it. As we go on, I rip him with my cords. I make sure he's always back to work and snapping his back.
Yep, good cap, bad cop, and then I don't even know. All right, so...
Would you not say that we're pretty good bosses? Travis, so. Not here. Here to answer, which I'm almost glad that he's not.
Yeah.
But I think that separately we can say we're great bosses.
I hope so. I want to be very nice and take care of everyone. All
look
right.
At my fucking muscles, man.
Yeah, well, I don't think that has anything to do with being a good boss, a good boss or a bad boss.
I just know that if we were all in a building on fire, right, if there's a big fire and stuff, I would save Travis.
Okay.
Which I think puts me above most other bosses.
Yeah, no, you could actually do that. Yeah, okay, I could see that happening. No problem.
I could save Travis.
You could be a hero. All right, so we got some fun stories to get to today. I don't know if fun is the right word necessarily, but there'll be interesting stories. But first
I'm
off,
having fun with it.
We got to talk about what happened here. The time traveler from the episode, from last week's episode.
God.
The dude from the year 3700, evidently, according to literally... over 1,000 messages via Twitter, Instagram, and email, probably on Facebook, but I didn't even check, have alerted us that the man quoted a Jonas Brothers song in regards to us living underwater.
And I was then forced to not just learn about the Jonas Brothers, which I literally couldn't pick out of a lineup. I couldn't pick one of those kids. I've never heard one of their songs by choice. I wouldn't know what their songs were. That song actually was a cover of another UK boy band called Busted.
Oh.
But I guess it was a big hit in the UK. And I had several people have the gall to tell me that article duped us. As if we believed that the man was traveling and we thought it was from the future. We thought it was a fun story to go through. I did not know it was a lyric.
No.
I don't listen to music. The children listen.
But honestly, it was one of those things where, first of all, I didn't realize we have such a crossover with the Jonas Brother audience. But a very awesome audio. If you love that band, that good for you.
Sure, whatever. But, do whatever the fuck you want, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I'm happy we didn't know the lyric. I am extremely happy that we did
Can
not know that was the Jonas Brothers lyric.
The guff I would receive for the rest of our fucking career together, where I would sit there and have to be like, reveal inadvertently that I'm a Jonas Brothers super fan, somewhere deep in there, like what I would get from your fucking ass.
I mean, it would be interesting. That's to say the least. So yes,
you would ride my ass. I would be roasted until the end of time.
Well, you know, I think it would be one of those things like when you play a choose your own adventure game, and when you choose one option, and then it'll just say in the corner, like, your relationship with Henry has changed. Like, it yes. would definitely be like, well, like, I wouldn't necessarily freak out right now, but I'd be like, I'm going to log that. He's just a huge Jonas Brothers fan. Just in case.
Remember?
Just in case he does get arrested for God knows what in the future. Be like, well, you know what? Makes sense. He was a Jonas Brothers fan, so.
I could have told that 34-year-old man loved listening to those boys dance. Yeah. Like, I don't know what they
do.
Oh,
my goodness.
Are they a dancing group?
I have no idea. I know they're really religious, I think, and they're big.
Are they?
Yes, there's something like that. I don't know.
I think they're just British.
No, I don't think. Are they British? I think the band they stole the song from is, or I don't even know if they stole it. I have no idea.
I have no fucking clue.
But yes,
I don't know.
To Henry's previous point about us being duped, I don't think no one was duped. It was duped. Oh, good Lord. Anyway.
Good Lord. Now look at us. Now we're frantically defending ourselves. This is what's happening. And this is the Republican trick. This is how it always is. We're sitting here defending ourselves till somebody else comes and controls the narrative.
That's right.
And now, put my back against them.
Uh-huh. Now someone's listening to me like, man, they're really talking about how they don't like the Jonas Brothers. I guess they really love the Jonas Brothers? Is that what's going on? On the last episode, we also asked which celebrity has been propelled to celebrity because of a crime. And we did get some good responses. One of the responses was Jeremy Meeks. Do you remember him, Henry? He was the hot felon.
Ugh.
What?
It's just like... We've done so much work in our lives, years of work.
He stole a car.
Honest work.
He stole a car and had an illegal firearm and took a gorgeous mugshot. Have you ever done that?
He's got beautiful ice blue eyes, yes, but now he's got a modeling contract. And I'll tell you what, you took you years of doing a podcast just to get a modeling contract. When you got yours, you're short-lived.
My Kmart Big and Tall modeling contract, which, by the way, I'm fairly certain, sight unseen, that's when they booked me, because they saw me about 3 months before they booked me, and they didn't realize I had been a little bit of eating. I've been doing a lot of eating. So I showed up, and then they were like, huh. And I was like, I will take my money. Huh. And then the other model was all jacked and strong, and he obviously deserved to be there. I probably sunk his chances of being in a Kmart ad.
So, good.
Nonetheless.
I'm glad that you were a fucking grenade for other models. Fuck that piece of shit. Your whole life is just you. You just get to be handsome. That's just what you get to be.
Well, they work hard for it. They go to the gym.
Doing what? I guess that's true.
They do
that
work.
That is true.
Now, I don't know if Jeremy Meeks worked hard for it. He just committed a crime, a felony.
He didn't fucking work hard for jack shit.
Also, why isn't the photographer who took that picture, who took the mugshot, he should be like, Dov Sharnoff or whatever the name of that guy is. He should be a fashion photographer now.
You know for a fact that Officer Dubunsky is sitting there thinking every day, being like, and I tell you, I knew when I saw them eyes. That's a star quality.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I've been telling every woman I get near, I am a tastemaker. And you got the taste that I want to put on my mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Meeks was sentenced to 27 months in prison on charges of possession of a firearm and grand theft. That was in 2015. His sentence also included 36 months of supervised release after he left prison as of June of 2018. He's basically done. And now officially he's done with all probation. And so he can travel around and he can be a supermodel to the stars. And Mary, I think he already did marry some gal. So anyway, he got extremely lucky because he committed a crime. And because of that, he is now a celebrity.
Got good out of it. He got a whole GD fucking career out of it.
He got a career. Also, Henry, now you have a little bit more insight into this. What is it? It's Sagawa? Sagawa?
Issei Sagawa.
Okay, now
that was a cannibal. He also went forward. He ended up having a career after going to jail for a short period of time for being mentally ill in Japan. I forget what year it was. He ate a roommate of his or a friend of his, a Dutch student that he became obsessed with when he was being trained in Europe. He got out of jail in Japan because he was mentally ill. He only served a small period of time, and then he went on to be on a bunch of television shows. He went on to make a bunch of comic books. He is a very strange character.
Very strange. So he's another one. And it's my understanding he also came from a lot of cash and a lot of clout. That really helped him get out of prison early, obviously.
Issei Sagawa, it says right here, yes, his killing of Hartsfeld, yes. And he's just been doing a bunch of shit since then. And also Michael Alig, the famous party monster.
Oh, yes.
After, since he's been out of jail, now he is back for he murdered his roommate in a coke-fueled frenzy. It's a story we will do.
Oh, yes.
On Last Podcast.
Have to.
But I guess he's getting back into fucking party promotion and shit.
Oh, my goodness. And
he's like, it worked for him.
All right. There's a couple of celebrities there. And dare I say, I mentioned this man's name on this week's episode of Last Podcast on the Left. By the way, you guys are in for a treat. Solar Temple Part 2. Going to be very awesome. But Jordan Belfort, I would argue he was also a person who was made famous by crime. And, of course, a movie was made after him with the name Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, very great film. Very entertaining film. Great supporting cast in that film.
I heard that. right.
You fucking better have.
Of course.
You fucking better have. If I didn't, I'd be running. Oh, well, oh, no. So Michael Alig, according to this, on Thursday, February 2nd, 2017, Alig was arrested for trespassing and smoking crystal meth in Joyce Kilmer Park and Concourse outside of the Bronx Supreme Court at approximately 1:30 a.m.
Whoa.
He was detained because apparently the park closes after dusk.
So that was the problem, not the meth?
No, then it turned into that. He got picked up because it was there after dusk, and he's just hanging out being like, it's a lovely afternoon, isn't it? And they're like, yeah. The complaint alleges that police found a bag of crystal meth and a pipe with residue from the drug in his jacket pocket.
Oh, my
God. So he's not doing well.
All right. Well, I guess the party hasn't ended for that guy yet, although it seems like it really should have.
He also released a pop song written and produced by Greg Tanous. Oh, that is good. He also he did a bunch of oil paintings.
Wow. All right. He's multi-talented.
Let me see what this is. One was seeing Michael Alig's song.
Honestly, he seems busy, which means that maybe the meth is working. He seems to be keeping his hands occupied and maybe meth on the brain.
Okay. The song's called What's In by Tanous.
Okay.
Featuring Michael Alig and DJ Keoki.
Rock and roll. I think it's...
Whoa, it's a 90s satirical piece with video made to look like an old VHS found in a thrift store. It is him walking through Central Park dance rapping.
Awesome. All right. Very cool. Okay. Also, Tekashi 6ix9ine, evidently he's now in prison and looking at 32 years to life. Speaking of rappers, who maybe got a little bit more name recognition because of a crime. But of course, he was a little bit well known in that world now. But we'll see if he ever gets out.
I'm going to say Scum Gang.
Is that what it's called?
That's his crew.
Oh.
Listen, Kissel, I know what the kids
I know you do.
I know what the kids do. I'm on the beat. I'm out there with I understand what the youngsters like, what they connect to. Tekashi 6ix9ine. Tekashi.
You nailed it. Yeah, nailed it.
6ix9ine, man. He is not talented.
All right. Well, apparently he was talented at racketeering, but okay.
What is racketeering?
You know, that's what I was. I think it's just all the mafia crimes. Whatever a mafia crime is,
here, I'm looking
I think
it
it's
up.
Money
I'm
laundering. I think it's he was gun running. He was.
Okay. Racketeering is when organized groups run illegal businesses known as rackets. Oh, and an organized crime ring uses legitimate organizations to embezzle funds. Okay.
That's
so it's just a bunch of different crimes. It's a list under, because I know he was selling guns.
Yes.
He was both selling and harboring guns, and it was involved in a bunch of crimes.
Yes, and there was a pretty nasty sexual situation there that occurred as well involving a young person. So he's definitely not a good guy.
I think it involves an act that seems to be referenced in a song titled Brain.
Ugh.
that he did, which I believe is street talk for a blowjob.
All right. Well, it seems like it's more going in the ear than the mouth there, but hey, what do I know?
That is, I am feeling lit. I am feeling cool. I'm going to see new word for cool. I'm going to look this up. New word for cool in 2018.
Well, I hope it's radical.
When it comes right here, cool words millennials use. That's what it says right here. Yeah. It says this little list. It's a begin a slideshow here. Let's see what it says here. Look, cray. Cray. He was cray. I know that one.
Well, that's too old. Yeah, that's not new anymore.
Gucci.
All right. Well, let's see here. Why do we even?
This is the example that Refinery 29 used for the word Gucci. It's not the Italian fashion company. Gucci in slang means good, fine, or okay. I'm coming over at 10, and we're going to eat pigs in blankets before going out. Gucci.
Why is it the most Midwest example ever? Yes. That is my correspondence with my friends growing up in Wisconsin. All right. Well, why did we even start talking about people who were propelled to celebrity by crime? Casey Anthony, of course, was the reason we start talking about that. And Casey Anthony's father was actually in the news this week. He was left with incapacitating injuries after a crash in Florida. The father of Casey Anthony, of course, she was found not guilty in 2011. He crashed his car in Florida on the interstate, incapacitating injuries. George Anthony was driving with his wife, Cindy Anthony. They had a Toyota 4Runner on Interstate 4 in Daytona Beach when he ran off the right shoulder and attempted to swerve back before losing control of the vehicle. The vehicle overturned several times before coming to a stop off the median shoulder, the Florida Highway Patrol has said. So he was flown to a hospital in serious condition.
It seems like he maybe saw somebody else in a goofy costume. And he was so incensed that someone else could play it that he tried to murder him. I feel obviously very bad.
Of course.
For George Anthony. It's unfortunate. Seems like maybe in some sort of subconscious fashion, he willed it upon himself.
No.
Almost.
Oh, you think? Especially you think this was an attempt at what do you call it? A non-conscious suicide attempt?
Vehicular suicide or something like that? Hmm. I feel that he. Maybe it's not a coincidence because Casey Anthony's been coming bubbling back up. She's been bubbling back up in the news recently. It seems to be she's doing it almost on purpose. She got a new team or something. She's been making a lot more comments to the press than she has in many, many years.
Right. Yep.
So I wonder if it has something to do with it.
Perhaps a subconscious suicide attempt. It is possible. It's unclear why George drove his vehicle off the road. He does not remember what happened before the crash, according to the Florida traffic crash report. No one else was injured. George and Cindy, of course, we know why they made all their headlines. So the father was in a crash, and I suppose I'm going to say this, wishing him a speedy recovery. Although,
Bible, I'm with you, my brother. That's another term it says here is Bible. Bible, which means if you're going to say the truth, you say it first. See, Bible, I'm with you, buddy. I hope he gets better.
Bible means you're about to spit out the truth?
Hashtag adulting. Duh.
Really? Interesting.
Duh, I'm hashtag adulting. I'm getting turnt on it. We're going to get turnt on news of his recovery.
Okay.
I feel that he is looking for a way out, and won't God just let him go? Just let him go. He's so sad.
It's been a hard run.
His whole
run.
Life has been destroyed.
Yes.
Yeah, his whole life.
It's been a hard run. Of course, as we all know from the Casey Anthony series, the defense team basically put him on trial instead of Casey Anthony. And it wasn't because they were accusing him of being world's greatest dad. They accused him of quite disgusting acts with his daughter. So
it was quite a cavalier trial. Did they cavalierly they destroyed his entire life?
Yes, absolutely.
Which is incredibly sad.
Yes.
But you know, now he's out. And you got OJ Simpson hanging out in St. Pete, where I was. Like, literally there for my wedding.
This is an amazing story. O.J. Simpson speaking.
He was just hanging out where he lives there now, apparently.
So this happened, and it was in St. Petersburg. This was on Tuesday night of this past week. And this is again, right where Henry and Natalie got married. A beautiful area, by the way. It is a gorgeous place, St. Petersburg. And Simpson was spotted out on Beach Drive at a downtown jazz club, Ruby's Elixir. And
yeah, dude, that's a very big bar down there. That's a pretty popular bar. He was fucking around that, and he apparently moved down there to be closer to his kids.
Right.
We are turning into Tiger Beat. Like, this is literally
serial killer Tiger Beat or murderer yes. Tiger Beat.
What is happening with the content in this world that we're in right now, where it's literally just the people, because this, that kind of thing was paid for by people. That kind of coverage was paid for by like PR people.
So do you think that Casey Anthony and OJ seriously both have PR firms working for them at this point?
Absolutely.
How much money?
Absolutely.
What do you think, OJ? So if you're OJ Simpson, obviously you can't make money off of a crime if found guilty. He was not found guilty. So how much money do you think he's actually pulling in? Enough for a PR firm to cover his actions?
I imagine he's got a couple of weird flows of income. I imagine he probably a lot of it, some of it could be vaguely pro bono or hoping that it's all going to pan out to some form of a reality television
sure.
show or a further book. Like, there's a people that would still, like, again, we brought up interviewing Casey Anthony, people got, it's a very, very hotly debated, not split, but obviously the
right.
idea is like to interview her is completely classless.
Right.
But anybody will do it. Someone will eventually do
oh,
it.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, those news outlets are clamoring to get the first interview of Casey, or at least the first one in a couple of years. And OJ, probably the same. According to St. Petersburg resident Paul Brown, he was having an anniversary dinner with his wife at Cassis on Beach Drive. By the way, and this is when OJ walked in with around five or six people. You're having an anniversary dinner with your wife. You gotta, and you see OJ, you gotta grab your wife and hold her close, right? Like, you don't.
I feel like that. You don't push her towards him and be like, OJ, kill this one. OJ, look, OJ, I got one for you.
It's also.
Oh, OJ, you're funny. You remember when you used to play football?
Huh. Yeah. His name, it's also interesting. His last name is Brown. Kind of interesting. This is how that interaction went. He said, I said, hey, OJ. And he said, hi, how are you? And then he goes on to say, I was the only one who said anything to him. Everyone was kind of very quiet, but after he was gone, we all looked at each other like, wow, I wish I'd taken a picture now.
God.
So the
I don't feel bad for him. Like, I don't
no,
feel bad
no.
for him. It is just like, he is, so you say there's no justice.
Right.
At least these people are pariahs for the rest of the time. I know that they are not in jail.
Yeah, but Henry,
which way you would prefer to have them there? But
he didn't say his biggest regret was like, I wish I would have punched him in the face. By the way, OJ, I'm still not messing with him. His head is the size of like eight basketballs put together.
He's a big man.
The big regret was he didn't take a picture with him. He
yes.
was so OJ, and you see now if you go and. Google image OJ, picture. People are beginning now to just take selfies with him, and everyone's
oh, yeah.
happy.
No, true crime is hit a saturation point, and I wonder where it's going to go from there.
He said,
you know what I mean? Where he is just straight up a celebrity still. I mean, he always was.
Right.
But just even getting a picture of it, I would have a hard time. I would be tempted, but it would be very difficult for me to speak with.
Well,
him.
It's bizarre. Barbara Gray, who was visiting St. Petersburg from Alabama, very fun place
Ooh.
To visit, posted photos of a smiling O.J. Simpson from the Canopy Roof Bar at the Birchwood. This is what she said. She said,
oh, my God, he was at the Birchwood?
He was at Birchwood. Do you know that?
Yes, yes.
This is what
oh
she said.
God.
She
oh
said
God.
He took selfies with anyone who asked. She went on to say, I didn't want one, but he knew people were taking photos of him. So a lot of
oh,
people,
yeah.
and then you can see all the photos.
Oh, my God,
and,
buddy. I don't even know. I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, it's bad, but it's also like, what do you expect? I mean, it's the zoo. I guess it's what you want from people. You want to be able to take pictures of his fucking ass. Like he's literally in a zoo.
Right. Absolutely. So there was also a singer that was performing at Ruby's Elixir that evening who posted a selfie with O.J. Simpson, but evidently got a lot of unwanted attention. So that singer has since deleted the picture. So it appears.
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine it would be difficult for
so
you
anyway,
later
so,
on.
So if you're out
wow,
there.
Wow, interesting.
Yes, if you're out there in the St. Petersburg area, watch out. Mr. Simpson is out there looking to have a good time. And, you know, he did do some time in prison. So it's an interesting situation altogether. What do you do? What do you do?
I don't know. Samuel Little, the serial killer that we talked about last time, he's being linked to more and more kills in terms of this is the kind of seems to be an update episode.
Now, this is
that is getting more and more tenuous.
This is the guy who said that he killed 90, right?
Yes, okay. It seems to be they are pretty close. They're tying him to pretty closely to 9 murders. And they got a little bit out of him in terms of his recent. He made a little bit of a confession. There's this one police officer that he seems to kind of opened up to,
okay,
which was a man by the name of James Holland, and he straight up said the terms. He said, asked him right about, why would you do this? And his answer was that God put him on this earth to do what he was doing.
No, he didn't.
It seems like it would be like an opposite town.
Now, if
I don't know, I don't feel like you're. That's you know, like what he, if God exists, I don't know if that's necessarily what he's doing there.
Right.
I think mostly he's answering a lot of football prayers and giving kids AIDS. I don't know what else God's doing.
He's staying busy, that's for sure. If I find out that what you just quoted the serial killer Little as saying
is from a Jonas brother. Goddamn lyric. I swear to God, I am just going to be, because then no one's talking about the episode. No one's watching this. No one's listening to the show anymore. They're all listening to Jonas Brothers. That was not what we were supposed to do. We also did that at the very top of the episode last week. Well, all of the other stories that we were going to cover.
All right. Well, let's get to, I got one here that's extremely disturbing because it involves the death of dogs. And that is not that is not good. So this is from the Bulletin. It's entitled "Animal Abuse Investigation Uncovers Horrific Scene in Bend." Wesley Abel Brady is suspected in earlier arson. The investigation into the man accused of setting fires inside a historic home in Bend took a disturbing turn when authorities found signs of animal abuse at his home in Deschutes River Woods and heard stories of puppies being cooked in a crock pot.
Oh my God.
This is a disgusting story. Investigators found a partially skinned dog and dead rabbits at the home of this dude. He's 37 years old, which is, I don't know why I thought of him being a little bit older than that. But,
yeah, I don't know why.
Earlier this month, Brady has been charged with burglary and arson for a November 2nd incident in Bend. Authorities also suspect him of aggravated first-degree animal abuse, though he has not been charged with that. So this is what happened. So when Brady was arrested on burglary and arson charges on November 5th, authorities felt he, quote, needed care. So they sent him to the hospital. But then he later just left. The hospital just straight up released him, which I think
Jesus
is a little
Christ.
Weird.
That's not good.
So the hospital just releases him. So how did the police even find out that this dude was probably connected to the arsons in the first place? Well, according to the cops, they found receipts that traced back to Brady. And a home to the home that he shares with his father and 17-year-old son. 3 days later, this is where the story even gets more disgusting. 3 days later, sheriff's deputies and Bend police officers arrived at Brady's house on a gate road to follow up with their arson investigation. Brady, again, he led the deputies around his property. This is where Jeff Pope, he's the sheriff's deputy, he saw a dead half-skinned dog under a wheelbarrow, according to a search warrant affidavit filed by Deschutes County Circuit Court. So we have one half-skinned dog under a wheelbarrow.
Oh, God.
And then he later said, Brady later told a Bend officer the dog showed up at his house a few days before Halloween, quote, through a portal, and it had died of natural causes. He skinned the dog in a ritual to connect with the gray wolf so he could connect to another realm.
Whoa, okay, so he's deeply right.
You think this is correct? You think the dog did show up through a portal?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do. If the dog shows up in a portal, I mean, like, you know what, the writing's on the wall.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, apparently the dog was taken to Bend Veterinary Hospital, where a necropsy was conducted. And Pope saw a...
So sad. This is very, very sad.
It really is. And also, Pope, this is a bad day for this deputy, by the way. The deputy the deputy also saw a room with numerous Barbie and Ken dolls, quote, in various sexual positions. Several of the Barbie dolls were gagged. So this guy is, it's probably good that they caught him already, and it's not for sadistic murder of a person. One of the Barbies was hanging upside down with the head cut off, and there was a puddle under it that was simulating blood. So he was
cool.
He was really getting into playing with the Barbies, I guess. And
this man's very insane.
Yeah.
This man is an insane person. I don't like that he's killing the dogs.
Nope.
I do appreciate if you're going to let your freak flag fly, you really get into it. But I mean, you can do whatever you want with Ken dolls.
Sure.
You can do whatever you want with the Barbies and stuff like that. If you want to build a whole house of them all fucking each other, great.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do...
I mean, as long as that means that's good, because it means you're busy. It means you're inside your house, and I don't have to meet you.
Absolutely. So Pope, again, the world's least lucky deputy, was shown a room set up as, and this is a quote, it was some type of ritual altar. It had stones and trinkets set up in a unique pattern. There were two plastic 55-gallon drums, each containing soil and a dead rabbit.
Weird.
I have no idea.
This guy, he's a little Dahmer-y.
He is a little
bit. Is what
this
sounds like.
What do you?
He's a little Dahmer-y. I wonder if he ends up killing people.
Well, that's the thing. At this point, right, so obviously the Ken and the Barbie stuff, there's nothing illegal there. The rabbit, perhaps. Obviously, the dog thing is first-degree animal abuse. But, like, they can't charge him with... I hate thought crime. I hate pre-crime. But I'm just going to say, if you have to be like, who's going to murder someone...
This guy is will probably murder someone. Yeah, exactly. But it's very difficult to go after somebody when you've not committed an actual crime. You can't just arrest somebody just because they're fucking wiggity wackity.
Absolutely. So Roger Brady shared information with law enforcement, some of it chilling. He said, 2 months ago, Brady's dog had a litter of puppies, and two of the puppies went missing. One day, he saw a crock pot simmering in the kitchen. This is a quote from this dude. Roger looked in the crock pot and found two puppies cooking in the pot.
Oh,
Roger said they stayed in the pot for about 2 weeks, and then Roger got upset and buried them in the yard. Okay, I'm just going to say, Mr. Roger Brady here, 2 weeks? It took two weeks to get those dogs out of a crock pot to bury them?
I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot of miscommunication going on in this fucking case.
I think so.
It seems that this is not good. This is not how this should be.
Definitely not.
This is not how this should be done. God. You gotta police your friends.
This, yes.
A little bit. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, I like to go on a limb comedically. You know what I mean? But I like to think that if I went truly, deeply, impenetrably insane, you guys would find a way to get me in a net. And put me into a hospital.
Well, I mean,
like,
if all of a sudden, like, hey, how's Wendy doing? She's off to college.
Yeah, she got a job out of town.
She did, huh?
Well, she got a job out of town. She's really traveling a lot for work now. So she's not around right now. But
I am getting an.
You can meet this other dog I found through the time portal. That's my eating dog.
Oh, my goodness. So this is just to put a button on this fucked up dude, Justin Wesley Brady. Brady's ex-wife filed for...
No, he has a failed marriage?
Yes. And not just that. She asked that all visitation of their one-year-old daughter be supervised by Brady's mother. The mother that created this guy. I don't even understand. Like, this
I don't even know.
This ex-wife seems to be pretty nice to even think about a visit, let alone...
even letting him see the child.
Right.
After he put two puppies in a crock pot. I understand forgiveness is good.
Sure.
The holding on to grudges causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do it.
I don't know if that's true, but
homeopathic bullshit. It's going to kill
you.
Okay. All right? You can't hold on to grudges. You can't do it. But I got to tell you what. There's some things that you just kind of be like, you can even forgive him, I guess.
I don't think he's asked for forgiveness at this point. The only thing he said is that he didn't know about the rabbits. People criticize.
We feel too guilty for too much stuff.
Yeah, I
guess. That's the problem. That's what we do. That's how we feel. Good Lord, that fucking story is horrifying.
Yep.
Do you know that you can get you can now buy a chunk of the lead singer of Mayhem's skull?
Really?
The guy who committed suicide, according to Serial Killer Inc., a true crime collectibles and memorabilia company, is now selling two page typewriters for Serial Killers Inc., a true crime collectibles and memorabilia company, okay, is now selling a two page typewriter from Mayhem founder Osteen's Euronymous Arsith to Tomas Vamosi, manager for the band Tormentor and the Hungarian rep for Euronymous's label Death Like Silence.
Okay, now I gotta ask, what's a brain, what's a skull fragment going for these days?
It's a little piece of skull. It's about the size, it's a little bit smaller than a penny.
Okay, and what is
and
it?
And he said it is $3,500.
Oh my God, that is a that's a pretty pricey amount of cash for a size of a
penny. This is Dead's head. This is Dead's a piece of Dead's skull.
And how do
so Dead, who committed suicide, was famously put on the album cover, his suicide picture. And so yeah, you could buy the little chunk of skull for $3,500. It's about the size of a chiclet.
Well, what? How do we know it's his? Is there? Does it come with like an authentic?
You got to take the guy selling its word for you, man. Word for it, man. If you want to really question, how metal are you?
I mean, $3,500 is. I mean, that's no. You know, that's not a. You know, throwing a quarter away there. That's quite expensive. I mean,
it is scary. I will say that John Wayne Gacy's. I have looked at are close to $11,000-$12,000.
Now, when John Wayne Gacy, when it comes to that, when it comes to selling his art, does his like family? Because I know he had kids, right?
Yeah, dude. I think it does go to Victims Association. That's the only way you can legally sell them now. You can kind of do, they have to go back to a Victims Association.
So this dude for Mayhem, obviously he committed suicide. Is this gonna, is his family selling off his
no,
skull?
No, all of this is fucked up. All of this is not, all of this is not legit.
Huh, interesting.
A lot of this stuff gets fenced anyway. A lot of this stuff is done by word of mouth.
I see.
Honestly, most of this is done by word of mouth. If you're going to find a lot of serial killer memorabilia, for the most part, just ends up in people's hands. And you want to kind of keep that stuff off the books.
Right, right, right. Okay, well, are you going to purchase it or?
No.
What's the
no,
one
I got to buy.
What are you going to buy?
I don't know. In terms of like, if I were to choose one true crime
thing. Yeah, one artifact. Well, and then it can be as classless and disturbing as possible, but what would be one thing that you would want to get?
We have now, I mean, the problem is that it's always, now that we're in the middle of it, because we're doing Order of the Solar Temple, to get that fucking sword that he had would be fucking pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah, that would be, what was it, Demombro?
We won't know this, there's a holster, Demombro's, his version of Excalibur.
Yeah.
That would be pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, I mean, I think that's...
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool one. Absolutely. You guys will learn more about his Demombro's sword in this week's episode of The Solar Temple. All right. I'm trying to think. Maybe... What would it... For me...
I like ghost shit.
Yeah, ghost stuff is awesome.
That's what I would rather have in my house. I'm kind of a little bit past having the serial killer memorabilia,
right?
Because now I have enough of it. I have the pieces I have. I now are, that's the cap. It's at three pieces.
What do you have now? Because I know you used to have silverware that belonged to Ted Bundy, right?
I don't like to fully disclose what I have. I keep it a secret.
Really? Is it anything that I have touched or eaten off of?
Maybe. No, you've seen what I have, but I keep my shit a secret. I like to keep it on lockdown.
Yeah, all right.
Especially because I never know what I can legally get me in trouble. But a lot of it is it's stuff that I like to keep it all on a bit of a lockdown. I would rather have something more esoteric.
Right. You know what I think
that would
I would
be kind
do?
Of cool.
I think I would get Charles Manson's guitar. I think that would be kind of cool.
That would be cool as shit. That would be cool as shit.
Because there's something
I'd like to touch it.
Yeah, there's something about having a musical instrument. You get to actually play it, and then you know if you believe that there is some kind of attachment, some energy. This would be kind of if you just nailed like the perfect song and you got everyone in a trance because it was Charles Manson's guitar.
If I could get a full set of either an L. Ron Hubbard, one of his suits, the LRH jumpsuit that he had for the Sea Org with the captain's hat.
Sure.
Ooh, I'd never take it off.
I know.
I would literally never take it off.
Does it make you feel bad at all that it would fit perfectly? Does that?
I know it doesn't. I feel like it's more speaks towards my destiny. Because he got out clean, man.
He did. He did. And
he produced a bunch of films.
Yes.
Which we're hoping to do.
Yeah, that's true. And of course, we were talking about this again on this week's episode. So make sure you check it out, part two, Solar Temple. But Scientology seems to be bigger than ever in a strange way. They're advertising quite a bit for their television channel.
They're still functioning, man.
There's another.
That's the most that you could even say about them, is that they are fucking still going. There's a bit of a Scientology update.
Okay.
Leah Remini claims Tom Cruise knows about abuse in Scientology. He's been a part of it.
Yes.
Leah Remini is alleging that Tom Cruise not only knows about the abuse, but he has personally administered punishment on a high-ranking member. He is very aware of the abuses that go on in Scientology, Remini told the Daily Beast in an interview. He's been part of it. At least we've already heard this.
Can you imagine that, though? Getting beat up. Like, you go to Scientology and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. Your thetans are off. And then you're getting beaten. You look up and you're like, the dude from Cocktail. Like, can you imagine getting beat up by Tom Cruise? We talk about this
again. You better be.
It's crazy.
Fucking frightened of Tom Cruise. That's what I'm saying right now. So when you meet him, when we eventually will at some point meet him, you venerate him. Because he will smack you on the nose like you're a giant, misbehaving fucking dog.
Yes.
He is strong, got little hands. He has been with David Miscavige. They hang out quite a bit. They're close to, they would consider each other best friends.
Yep. And this is according to Remini. She also claimed Scientologists are told that Tom Cruise is saving the world single-handedly. So he is considered a deity within Scientology. So I guess if you're Tom Cruise, of course.
Why would you ever let that go?
Yeah, exactly.
Why would you ever let it go? You can never let go. That's why people say like, oh, they have something on him. That's why they do it. And it's like, no, I think the reason why he stayed in there is because he is a fucking god. And when you are 5 foot nothing,
right,
and treated as a god, it's really difficult to come back down.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that as a small man, that if I hit god status,
right,
I ain't turning back around.
Even if it's the cult that's hurting thousands of people,
I've already made my bed and I am laughing and rolling around in it. I am already enjoying it. So, you can't take that from my fucking hands.
But, you know, the church, this is according to Remini as well, the church also hides a lot of their, a lot of the more negative things that they might be doing from Tom Cruise.
Of course.
This is what she says.
Of course.
She says that the church will, quote, they'll go so far as if Tom Cruise is walking to a certain place, they'll make sure there are no magazines that are anti-Scientology so he can't see them. So maybe he's also – I mean, he's got to know that Scientology has had some negative press.
He's a kept boy.
Yeah.
He's a kept boy. He's kept happy. And that's all he gives a shit about. And they keep throwing him roles. Scientology is losing its power in Hollywood, but not – With the literally thousands of slaves that he has.
I mean, but it doesn't seem like it's affecting Tom Cruise's career any. He just had the Mission Impossible. I think it was Mission Impossible Fallout, and that earned nearly it earned nearly $800 million worldwide.
Still a movie star, man.
Yeah. He seems to be doing all right despite being second in command of Scientology and evidently a god to those poor souls.
No one's fucking stopping him, that's for goddamn certain. He'll just have to hit a wall to stop. Once he gets truly old to stop denying that he's old,
yeah,
that's the thing that's going to start really coming down for him.
Well, do you ever think, and I know we gotta wrap it up here, thanks everyone for listening, but do you ever think there's going to be a justice moment if he does beat the hell out of a bunch of people, which I'm sure he has? Do you ever think someone's gonna be like, no dude, we still have a rule, there are still laws here, you can't just physically assault me?
I think that Scientology, either LRH is coming back, which they're still waiting for,
I don't know if that's gonna happen,
I don't know, but Scientology is gonna probably implode, and then he's just gonna do the natural death of all actors, where he just you become too old to work. Well, you're too fat and gross.
You start selling cash.
Nobody cares.
You start doing cash for gold commercials and telling everyone about Time Life collections.
Yeah, doing the tactical flashlight stuff, all that kind of bullshit. So I feel like in the end that he's using Scientology to try to control time's effect on him. I think there's a part of it that he also believes that Scientology is real and eventually it will make him immortal, that he will be able to travel the echelons of time using his mind, that he will be able to jump from body to body. But I think that at some point, unless it's completely real. The sad facts will open to him.
Right. Well, he can definitely fit inside a lot of bodies, that little Russian doll that he is. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Anything we want to say, we'll see you in Indianapolis see you in Chicago.
See you in Chicago. Really excited to do that, man. Excited to get we're going to get hammered all over again, aren't we? We're doing it again.
Yes, and thanks to everyone who gives to our Patreon. We love you. Without you, none of this is possible.
As always.
And
thank you.
Yeah, hail yourselves, everyone.
If you're going to live, man,
uh-oh.
I hope you do, man.
Oh, yikes.
Live, laugh, and love, man.
Okay.
Every day. Buy a pillow. Why don't we, so it's like a lot of people that have been sarcastically even talking about Triple L. Why don't we go back to non-sarcastically talking about it and y'all just go out there and buy a bunch of memorabilia for the Etsy moms that are desperate for your business.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.